Home foreclosures are spreading into new areas.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The nation's foreclosure epidemic is getting worse far from where it started. A report out today from the foreclosure listing firm RealtyTrack says foreclosure activity is up sharply in places like Chicago and Seattle. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more on this. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, many of the early foreclosures in the crisis, as we know, had a lot to do with the bursting of the housing bubble. What are the reasons for this new wave?
Well, Jeremy, remember homeowners are continuing to lose their jobs, or maybe they're seeing their hours cut.
Right.
So they're falling behind on their mortgage payments. Now, the cities with the highest foreclosure rates are still in the states at the epicenter of the crisis. But as you mentioned, foreclosures in the Seattle area have increased. They're up 71% from last year. Chicago is up 35%. And things are just going to get worse. Foreclosures are expected to actually peak next year.
And is this at all related to foreclosure gate, the story we've been talking about with all these problems with paperwork?
No, actually, the foreclosure gate will cause foreclosures to actually dip slightly at the end of this year. And that's because some banks have frozen foreclosures so they can fix these paperwork problems, things like someone robo-signing stacks of documents without reading them. But Rick Sharga of RealtyTrack told me these problems will be resolved soon.
Probably by the second quarter of next year, the robo-signing issue, at least in terms of foreclosure activity, will be sort of a blip in the rearview mirror.
And Jeremy, Sharga says the state attorneys general who are investigating the foreclosure paperwork mess could levy fines or even file criminal charges. And Bloomberg is reporting a task force of attorneys general could meet with lenders as early as this week.
All right. We'll be following it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Federal officials are expected to announce $2.5 billion in high-speed rail grants today. California is set to get the most money, with Florida close behind. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, not everyone in the railway biz is celebrating.
President Obama has touted high-speed rail as a greener, faster alternative to cars. California's got the most ambitious plan, an 800-mile rail network running from San Diego to Sacramento, with trains traveling 220 miles per hour. John Robert Smith co-chairs the advocacy group Transportation for America.
We believe for the future, the people of the United States need choices for transportation, and high-speed rail is certainly one of those choices and an important choice for the future.
But many of these new trains will run at only 110 miles per hour and on the same tracks as freight rail. And freight rail companies aren't thrilled about sharing. Mark Reuter at the Progressive Policy Institute says they have a legitimate gripe.
There's a congestion problem. There's huge liability problems. Essentially, staying on existing freight lines is what the current system is today, which is Amtrak.
But building new designated tracks for all high-speed rail would cost billions more in public funding. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are up about 0.5% on average. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 43 points to close at 11,126. Investors are watching some earnings this morning, among them AutoNation. It's out with its earnings. The nation's largest dealership group is reporting 13% revenue growth over last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
We are just 5 days away from Election Day, and in Florida, developers are racing to file applications for new construction projects. That's because there's an amendment on the Florida ballot that would give citizens a say on development projects in their communities. From WMFE in Orlando, Tom Parkinson reports.
Amendment 4 would give Florida voters a final say over any changes to their community's land use plans, and that has developers worried. The idea for the amendment surfaced last year. Since then, developers have filed twice as many applications for new construction. James Miller is a spokesman with the Florida Department of Community Affairs, which handles all development applications.
In our anecdotal conversations with planning officials at local governments around the state, the possibility of Amendment 4 passing was a common theme for the increase.
Supporters of Amendment 4 say it would put the brakes on suburban sprawl, but opponents argue it would cost taxpayers millions and drive away jobs. Wayne Garcia is with Hometown Democracy, a group promoting Amendment 4. He says Florida has a long history of development with little regard for environmental damage or the need for new roads or schools or other infrastructure.
The project comes down the line and it goes through the entire process and it's not a good one, but because of political reasons, because of lobbyists, because of special interests, it gets approved. It's going to have one more step, and that added step is that the next election, the voters are going to vote on it.
Supporters say local governments will still have the final say over many, if not most, development projects. Any changes to the local comprehensive land use plans will have to go before voters. Ryan Houck is with Citizens for Lower Taxes and a Stronger Economy. He says Amendment 4 would require special elections at taxpayer expense.
There would almost certainly need to be special elections due to the volume of comprehensive plan amendments. Even if there aren't, delaying vital community needs like hospitals or schools for 2 years until a referenda can be held is extremely unworkable.
The $42 billion a year construction business is one of Florida's largest industries. In Orlando, I'm Tom Parkinson for Marketplace.
And finally, U.S. News & World Report has released a list of the meanest airlines in America. Think long lines, annoying fees, and general rudeness. Delta ranks number one, thanks to its number one status in delays and consumer complaints. United is a close second, and you won't be surprised to hear the rest of the pack is not too far behind. To see the rest of the list, you can go to our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
For most of us, it's like a bad dream from 1994, but slow internet is still reality in some parts.
It's chugging along.
I wouldn't call that chugging, Kathy. It's kind of creeping.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl. As banks drive accounts online, what does that mean for the internet have-nots? The story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.